You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Friday edition. I hope everyone's getting excited for their weekend. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. We've got the all NFC West division preseason team today. Getting close to training camp here, almost only a little over a week away. So, Croc, did you know that the Hall of Fame game teams, it's Steelers Cowboys, is it this year?
I feel like it's always the Cowboys.
Steelers somebody. They start training camp this week.
Oh, wow.
Or not next week. After, so after the weekend, it's basically going to start camping with a couple of teams in the NFL. So that means we're only a week away from the 49ers and everybody else showing up the following Tuesday. So that's pretty crazy. This Tuesday, there will be two NFL teams that are camping.
So as we know, training camp or preseason is going down to three games. Mm-hmm. So they get a fourth game then, right? I think that's how it's been working.
Yeah, so it used to be that those Hall of Fame game. Yeah, those teams would get five before. Now they're going to get a fourth instead of a fifth. And everyone else is going to play three games. And wait, now there's an extra week before the season starts after the last preseason game, right? Or does the season start a week earlier now?
I think it starts. I think it might start. No, I feel like it's around the same time. Yeah, because I know week two is Philadelphia, and that's around September 18th or so. Because I know I'm going to that game.
Yeah,
so I know that's then. So
training camp always started late July, so that hasn't moved anywhere. So there's either an extra week of training camp before the preseason games, or there's a week after the third preseason game before the season starts. So there's an extra week that's not been accounted for.
Either way, I would like to say this, and I'm speaking for the people at the bottom of the roster.
Okay.
I know there are a lot of fans that do not care about preseason games. Obviously, the 49ers would be extra tuned in because you have Trey Lance, and everybody wants to see him. They're really excited for that. But I've seen a lot of tweets about, oh, just do away with preseason. They didn't use it last year and stuff. And I immediately look to the guys that are like me, and it's like, no, dude, like there are a lot of guys that are on that bust bubble. There are 90 guys on the roster, and only 53 are going to make it or whatever, right? So, like, dude, that preseason matters for a lot of guys. It might not mean anything for Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and George Kittle, but there are the Eric Crockers of the world that are like, look, I'm trying to make this spot, and maybe not even on the 53-man roster, but maybe for, you know, a practice squad. So, you guys, I'm asking you guys, please have a little bit more respect for the guys at the bottom of the roster.
Have more respect for the Eric Crockers, but the Trey Lances too. Like, you want that guy to have a full preseason. Last year it was Jordan Love, right? Jordan Love, this is going to be his first. We don't know anything about Jordan Love. Packers know a little bit more, but that would have definitely benefited someone like him to have a preseason and get a chance to play before all this Aaron Rodgers stuff happened. So even some of the rookies that are high draft picks too, that are household names, it helps them. So it's not nothing, but yeah, for like some of the, like Fred Warner, he doesn't need to bang his head around. George Kittle, he doesn't need to bang his head around in preseason games, but there are a lot of guys that do.
Are they going to have a dress rehearsal? Because we all know that third game typically is the dress rehearsal, and that's the closest thing to a game, and you want to see your team come out and be able to execute. It means a little bit more. Not saying it's everything, but, you know, we watch that game a little more closely. Your team might, your starters might play into the third quarter. I remember a couple years ago, 49ers, they were playing against the Colts, and there were starters in to start the third quarter off. How would they work that whole thing? Only having three games, will they have the dress rehearsal in the second game and then ease off the breaks in the third game? But then it's like you haven't had a lot of time to be able to ramp up to that, and now all of a sudden you're playing guys extra snaps. That's going to be curious how each team kind of works around that. Will there be like a standard around the league where everybody kind of does the same thing? Or will you see some teams, and I know the Rams, I mean, they've gone with this model of not even playing guys in preseason. But I'm curious to see how each team works around this new preseason schedule.
Well, think about this. Jalen Hurd, where would he be if he didn't have that one preseason game to show off his talent a little bit and make those big plays? What if that game was the one that got lopped off? What would we think about Jalen Hurd? Because we wouldn't even have seen that. And that's really what got fans excited about what Jalen Hurd could be for the 49ers.
I don't know if he'll be on the 49ers.
Yeah, he might not even be on the roster already, and who knows if he will be anyway. But yeah, there's a lot that shakes out in the preseason, and especially for the Eric Crockers of the world. So got to respect the Crocs. My son, by the way, put on the Croc Talk TV, and he gets super excited. He sees the 49ers hat, and he says, hey, that's Crocky. And he said, yeah, the hat, he's got a hat just like Leo. So he gets excited every time he sees Crocky.
I need to wear the red one more often for him.
Yeah.
Oh, I try to make my 49ers hat, especially this black one. I try to make it like kind of like my little signature hat that I just wear all the time. I wear it even if it doesn't match with, you know, whatever I have on. What I need to do, though, is I need to get one where I wear this one. And it has a nice little 75-year anniversary patch on the side. Really cool there. But I think I need to get, like, a fresh one that I don't wear on a daily basis. And still have my daily basis one because I wear this at the gym. Sometimes I work out in it. So,
oh, yeah. Man, it'll start looking like this hat I'm wearing right now. For those of you who aren't watching and nobody else is except for Eric Crocker, this hat is super dirty that I got on. But it's like I'm about to go play a softball game. So this is like a dirty hat that looks like it's spent time in the dirt. So that's the way I roll with my hats. I wear them until they get sweaty and dirty. Then they go and become a ball game hat. And then eventually they just shrink so much from sweat that they don't fit on my head anymore. Then they go in the trash. You know what? Speaking of the Eric Crocker swag report, one of the things that's happened this week, and we will get to our offense and defense, all NFC West division roster in a second here, but there's been a lot of people that have been tagging us too, especially you, Croc. They want to hear what you think about it. What do you think about that that tracking device that we've seen athletes wear? Trey Lance was wearing it. It looks kind of like a sports bra, and so people are like, oh, what is he wearing? That, you know, he can't wear that. It looks like a sports bra. Somebody else sent me a photo of Gronkowski wearing the exact same thing, and it's some sort of a track. It's a workout tracker, right? Essentially, that tells you how much you've been working out and knows what your workload is, like a GPS thing. It's like everything all combined, right?
Right. And it's lightweight and supposed to be comfortable, right? And not something that covers up your whole body or anything, but you kind of just put it on and it can hold that tracker in there and it monitors your heart rate and all type of things like that. And I think it's very cool in the sense of what it does, the functionality of it. But obviously, like, yeah, it kind of looks a little bit like a sports bar already, but I never thought anything of it. I mean, I saw that picture of Gronkowski. That was from last year's training camp. And I feel like there wasn't a big deal made of that. But we see Trey Lance wear it. And I mean, the internet exploded. I saw it everywhere. And I'm like, are we really making a big deal out of this? Yeah. And not to put down anybody that thinks it looks weirder, but it was just like, I've seen this. I watched a lot of guys during their either pro days or I think it was the House of Athletes that hosted their own pro day workouts and everything. And you had guys running their 40s. They were running it with the trackers on. We've seen actually Trey Lance and Brandon Ayuk wearing it earlier in the offseason. They had shirts on underneath it, yeah, but they had it on. And you didn't hear anything about it, or, you know, but then when he took the shirt off underneath,
people didn't notice it when it was just on with a shirt underneath, but then when you have no shirt on, just that, then it looks a little bit more like a sports bra. But really, like, who cares? You're trying to get better. Who cares what you look like? So, yeah, it's a non-story. But I know a lot of people looked at that with the side eye, and I don't know if it meets Eric Crocker's swag. But we're just talking about working out and trying to get ready to go. It's not something they're going to wear over their uniform or anything like that. I mean, it's better than the '94 throwbacks. No comment from Crocker. Croc's screen froze. I think I broke Crocker. All right, well, let's come back and we'll have the offensive side of the all NFC West preseason team 2021. Gearing up for the 2021 NFL season, you think you might have a little bit of an advantage on projecting what's going to happen this season? Well, you can get in on some extra action at betonline.ag, like odds for which wide receiver will lead the league in receiving yards this season. Brandon Ayuk, 66-1. Kind of like that. Get those bigger, deeper odds for some of these really talented wide receivers in the NFL. Who's your favorite to lead the league in receiving yards in 2021? You can find those odds at betonline.ag, just like you can with quarterbacks and passing yard leaders or rookies of the year, Super Bowl winners, win totals for your favorite NFL team. Go to betonline.ag. And use promo code LOCKEDON. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Croc, let's do this. All NFC West preseason team. We're going to go position by position here. I think we do base with a little extra nickel involved. So 12 offense, 12 defense. And we'll see if the how many 49ers are in the all-division team. I'm sure some folks out there are going to get mad if we don't pick enough 49ers. But if they listen to this podcast enough, they know, Croc, that we keep it real. And we're going to be honest with these assessments and which 49ers should belong in the all-division preseason team heading into 2021. It starts at quarterback. And is it just as easy as plugging Russell Wilson in there? Do you think there's some conversation? Because we've talked about it before on the podcast. Look, Jimmy Garoppolo's not... He's the fourth best quarterback in this division, and Trey Lance is probably the fifth best quarterback in the division that you're trying to hope can climb Garoppolo, then climb Stafford and Murray and get up to the top and be in that echelon with Russell Wilson. But obviously, as a 20-year-old or just turned 21, he's not there yet. He's not even the starting quarterback of the 49ers yet. So Russell Wilson versus Matthew Stafford versus Kyler Murray, it's just Russell Wilson, and it's that easy, right?
Nah, man, I think Matthew Stafford.
Ooh.
And I want to roll with Russell Wilson because he's the boogeyman, right? Like, he's the guy that has given the 49ers fans fits, nightmares, all that stuff. But I just believe in the offense a little bit more there in L.A. with Sean McVay, you know, kind of playing puppet master. And now you have a Matthew Stafford who's been dying to get in a position like this where a team that's going to take a little bit off of his shoulders, probably lean a little bit more on the run game, play action, but you still have the threats of all those targets. And they have some weapons over there in L.A., even outside of the two main guys, right, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods. Then you start to kind of dig deeper, and, you know, they drafted Tutu Atwell. They have DeSean Jackson. He's a little bit older, but, I mean, there's some weapons. There's another guy I'm leaving out, Van Jefferson. So, I mean, they have some legit weapons there. Yeah, Matthew Stafford, who finally he's with a great offensive-minded coach. I like that. I like Russell Wilson by himself. But when you start to factor in how this may play out from a statistical standpoint, I'm going to go with Matthew Stafford.
Wow. So if Crocky, the cornerback, is lining up, he's more worried about Stafford to Cooper Kupp than Russell Wilson to DK Metcalf if you're in coverage. I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah, well, and it probably doesn't sound right to Jimmy Ward as he was like, you know, he was going in on Matthew Stafford. Like, he's never won anything.
That was funny. He's going to make some headlines with that one, too. Some bulletin board material, which I love. That was fun to hear because I know that's going to continue to come up.
Yeah, so, but yeah, man, I mean, it's just, I'm more afraid of the offense. And even with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, who I think are excellent, but I don't care for the offense in Seattle. And even DK Metcalf, he was on the podcast with I Am Athlete with Brandon Marshall and Ocho Cinco and those guys. And he alluded to the fact that people caught on to their offense down the stretch. And that was when Russell Wilson started kind of tanking it towards the end of the year. He started off like, oh, MVP, runaway. Kind of tapered off a little bit. People were starting to catch on. I feel like it's a little easier to catch on to what they're doing and what they like to do as opposed to the Rams and all those weapons and Sean McVay playing puppet master. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Matthew Stafford.
Well, how about this? And we don't have enough time to keep going off about the quarterback stuff and about some of these teams, but Shane Waldron, the new offensive coordinator for the Seahawks, was the Rams passing game coordinator before. So do you think that skews anything for you? Could it start to look more like that? Now we're talking with Russell Wilson running a little bit more of that type of a scheme with some of those dudes, because I love the A and B because they're so different with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And Tyler Lockett does get slept on, I think, nationally, because probably just overshadowed by a lot of stuff on that team, but he's really good and really solid. That's a good one too. And you bring a little bit more of those McVay concepts into the Seahawks offense. What do you think, Croc?
Yeah, still that can Stafford? Be scary.
Still Stafford, though, for you?
Still Stafford.
Wow, okay.
Don't tell Jimmy Ward, though.
All right, I won't. Jimmy Ward's not worried about it. So we got. So I'm going to say Russell Wilson. You're going to say Matthew Stafford. I like that we're disagreeing there, because I didn't think you were going to go that way. Let's go running back. Who is your running back in the NFC West?
The running back that I'm going with, Cam Akers. I just think he's a guy that the Rams are going to lean on, especially in the run game. Start to add the threat of, you know, the quarterback now who's back there for the Rams. I hate that I'm going with so many Rams players right now, but you're spreading out. They run so much 11 personnel. They run out of 11 personnel. I think that's going to open up things already for Cam, who had a solid year last season. I expect him to build on that with the more prolific quarterback out there and the threat of him. So I'm going to go with Cam Akers.
I love it.
And the fact that there's no other running backs that are really like solidified in the NFC West. You have guys that you like and that you feel are talented, but I'm going to go with Cam Akers.
Yeah, there's some good ones, and you can make an argument for Chris Carson. Obviously, you can make an argument for Raheem Mostert, and you should make an argument for Raheem Mostert with what he can do. I just think that Cam Akers is going to have the opportunity to be an every down back that maybe Mostert and Trey Sermon aren't quite going to have this year. And who knows, maybe this time next year we're talking about Trey Sermon is that guy, and I think he could be in Shanahan's offense potentially. But right now I think Cam Akers is the dude, and I totally agree with you there. So we agree on Cam Akers as the running back in the all-division NFC West team. Fullback. You're not going to snub Kyle Juszczyk here, are you? You're not going to come up with some Los Angeles Rams fullback here?
I was going to say, oh, man, this is a tough one. Who's the Rams fullback? Nah, definitely got to be Juszczyk. And I would like to see the 49ers utilize him a little bit more in the run game. You know, short yardage back last year, I thought he was a guy that they gave the ball to, and he did well. And I felt like maybe he has the potential to run the ball well, but he's just not utilized that way. So give him the ball a little bit more in the run game. Obviously, we know the threat of him in the passing game. They don't pull it out all the time, but when they do pull it out, I think he does a really good job. So I think he might be the only fullback in this division, but he's definitely the best one and the best fullback in the entire NFL.
All right, we've got three wide receivers here to nominate for the NFC West preseason all-division team. I'm going to throw DK Metcalf out there. I know you loved him coming out of college. I loved him coming out of college. He maybe should be wearing a different uniform, in my opinion, right now, but he's wearing the Seahawks uniform. I'm going to put him in there as the top wide receiver in the division, but we still have two more, and I know you agree with DK, so who are the other two guys?
Yeah, and I actually have this guy over DK Metcalf, but I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins at one, and then DK Metcalf at two, and then let's see, my third guy would be Tyler Lockett. And that was between him and Cooper Kupp, but I'm going to go with Tyler Lockett. And Tyler Lockett is very interesting because he's a guy that everybody says is, oh man, he's so underrated. But it's like, man, if everybody says he's underrated, is he really underrated? And I think he's a terrific receiver. I think he excels with Russell Wilson, so I'm going to go with him.
My third receiver is going to be Brandon Ayuk. And I can't believe the love that Eric Crocker is showing to Los Angeles Rams right now and snubbing that the former first-round pick for the 49ers, Brandon Ayuk, who's primed for a breakout this year. So my three, or Metcalf and Hopkins have to be in there. The question is, who's that third guy? And Tyler Lockett and Cooper Kupp. And there's a number of receivers that deserve consideration here, but I'm going Ayuk. And you said you're going Cooper Kupp, right?
Yeah. No, so I went Hopkins, Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett.
And Lockett. Okay, so you're going Lockett, not Kupp. Okay.
49er fans are going to kill me. Know it.
The Brandon Ayuk disrespect right now, unbelievable.
And I love Ayuk. I love Debo, too. Yeah, I think Debo, I think people are sleeping on Debo a little bit. I think Debo's primed for a big year. I'm excited to watch him. He just stays healthy. He's primed for a big year. I think that can make me eat crow a little bit on this, leaving both 49er receivers off.
Yeah, and we're talking about a lot of guys here that are going to be on my fantasy football teams that are getting slept on. I think Lockett is one of those. I think Debo is one of those. I don't even think Brandon Ayuk is going that high. I thought he was going to be going a lot higher in fantasy drafts, but there was just so many other rookie wide receivers that overshadowed him even last year. Jerry Judy's another one that's going to be on all my teams, but Cam Akers is going to be on all my teams. I love DK. So we're talking about a lot of future Brian Peacock fantasy football squad members when we have all our drafts later this offseason are already on some of my keeper and dynasty teams. Tight end is George Kittle. Don't even mess around here, right? George
Disley?
Kittle, and we move on.
Are we going to go with Disley? Or no, I'm joking, Disley. Of course. I mean, George Kittle, man, top three tight end in the league. I feel like if he just puts together a full 17 games this year, we're talking about best tight end in the NFL. And I love the way that Kansas City utilizes Travis Kelce. I really feel like George Kittle can be used in a similar fashion, but he just hasn't really had the opportunity for whatever reasons. And I think the best thing for George Kittle, as well as he's played with Jimmy Garoppolo, but is to have Trey Lance at quarterback, because what's a young quarterback's best friend? A running game and a tight end. And that, I think that'll help George Kittle even take his stats and numbers to the next level.
Trent Williams, best offensive lineman in the division, in my opinion. I think you plug him in at offensive tackle. If you're not really looking too much at left tackle, right tackle, who would be the second offensive tackle with Trent Williams in the NFC West? You got DJ Humphries in Arizona, Andrew Whitworth up there in age in Los Angeles, and Dwayne Brown, who's still playing at a pretty high level, even though he's had sort of an odd path in his career with the Seattle Seahawks? Who would be your second offensive tackle? I'm not even going to let you disrespect Trent Williams on this one, Croc.
Trent Williams all the way. He's number one. And initially, that was the only guy I had listed as an offensive lineman on this team. But I'm going to go with Whitworth because although he is aging, and he's probably like 47 years old now, but he is very consistent. And Brown, he was right there with me kind of thinking maybe I'll go Brown in that direction. But yeah, I'm going to go with Whitworth. And I like the consistency that he brings to the Rams offensive line, even though he's getting older.
I'll go Dwayne Brown over Whitworth because of the age. And I have seen some really good things from Dwayne Brown recently. And I was surprised at how high of a level he was still playing at. But, fair arguments for both of those guys. Okay, we need a couple of guards on this team. Gabe Jackson recently signed by the Seattle Seahawks. We've got a rookie guard for the 49ers Aaron Banks, and of course Daniel Brunskill could be in the conversation. Lakin Tomlinson in the conversation when you're talking about 49ers. You've got Justin Pugh. You've got Brian Winters. The guard is not the marquee position in this division. Austin Corbett in L.A. and David Edwards. It's tough because I haven't scouted a lot of the offensive linemen in the division. I know some of the names, and I've seen them play, obviously, against the 49ers, so it's a little bit difficult. I feel like if I had to vote in two of these guys, the Seahawks with Gabe Jackson and Damian Lewis, maybe one of those guys would have to make it along with Lakin Tomlinson.
Yeah, I was going to go Gabe Jackson, Lakin Tomlinson.
And maybe a little Lifetime Achievement Award for Gabe Jackson. I don't know what level he's going to be playing at still this year. And you always worry about a guy who's just released and picked up. Is it, do the Raiders know somebody that everybody else didn't about Gabe Jackson? But I think that's a solid pick.
Everyone was surprised. So I think that kind of bodes well for him, right? That's everybody true. Was like, what the heck? Gabe Jackson released. Like, what are the Raiders doing? Oh my gosh, this is so crazy.
Yeah, and the Raiders blew up their entire offensive line. That was one of the strengths of their teams. Like, I don't know what strengths the Raiders have left. That was really head-scratching.
You know what strength they have. Derek Carr,
it's not
baby.
Quarterback. Oh, yeah, I don't know what the Raiders are doing. They're in trouble. Anyway, so what do we have left? Center. Who's going to be the all-NFC West preseason center? Is it Alex Mack? That would be a Lifetime Achievement Award. I think he's still probably playing at a pretty high level. Rodney Hudson, another former Raider, now in Arizona. You have Brian Allen in Los Angeles, and you have Ethan Posick in Seattle.
I'm going to go with definitely Alex Mack.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a guy who has been very consistent, played extremely well. As long as he can stay healthy, obviously he's getting up there in age, like a lot of the other offensive. This is kind of an older offensive line,
yes.
Division, huh? Gosh, guys Absolutely. Are really up there.
Yeah, but all these dudes are in their 30s.
He's playing extremely well. He's joining back up with Kyle Shanahan, and I think the offensive philosophy that the 49ers have definitely fits him extremely well. I think he's going to be highlighted because people are expecting him to do extremely well. He come in and does what they expect him to do. I'm guessing a big year and probably big accolades for Alex Mack.
And we'll see if some of those other 49ers younger players jump into this group when we're talking about this next year. Someone like Aaron Banks, second round pick, and Trey Sermon, the third round pick. But right now, this is how we have the all NFC West team in the preseason of 2021. I got Russell Wilson at quarterback. Croc has Matthew Stafford. We got Cam Akers at running back. Kyle Juszczyk at fullback. Wide receivers, DK Metcalf, DeAndre Hopkins. I got Ayuk 3, Tyler Lockett 3 for Croc, George Kittle at tight end. Offensive line is Trent Williams, Lakin Tomlinson, Alex Mack, 3 49ers there. We got Gabe Jackson from the Seahawks, and then I've got the other offensive tackles, Dwayne Brown, and Croc has Andrew Whitworth. Now let's get to the defensive side of the all-division NFC West team. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer? You can't see what he's looking at. He's looking at this screen, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. Then you got to come back and wait for the part to even get there. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket with an endless supply of everything you need for your vehicle. I'm always blown away at how much they have in stock at rockauto.com. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are always the same for everybody and are always reliably low. Just let them know that Locked On sent you, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. You know what I've learned about Built Bars, and you hear me say it probably all the time on this podcast, there's no bad time for a Built Bar. One of the best times is a road trip. Have one in your little bag. Have one in your glove box, whatever. It's a perfect snack. You have a long commute. Maybe you skip breakfast. Maybe you skip lunch. You need a snack, and you can feel good about it, and it tastes great. High in protein, low in sugar. That is the snack you want to grab. And you can grab a box of Built Bars from Built.com using promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. 9 original flavors like cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie. Peanut butter is my favorite. Cookies and cream is really good. Orange, strawberry, German chocolate, salted caramel, coconut. And they're always filtering in specialty flavors. So go to Built.com and find out what kind of new flavors they've got for you. You can buy a box of one flavor or do a mix and match. Even great for keto diets if you're trying to maintain, lose weight, only 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. So amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. You can't go wrong with a Built Bar if you go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next box of Built Bars, the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. At Eric_Crocker for anybody who wants to have words with Croc about the snubs on his offensive side of the ball. Let's see how he feels about defense. Let's start at defensive end, and this should be easy to find a quick 49er that belongs on this list, and it's going to be a pretty stacked defensive line. Nick Bosa is one of them, right, Croc? And then
yes.
It's got to be Chandler Jones as the other defensive end?
Yes.
Okay.
So we agree there.
Yeah, we see eye to eye there. And obviously, I mean, the best player in the NFL non-quarterback division right now is Aaron Donald. So he's going to be one of the defensive tackles on this team. Maybe it gets a little bit more difficult here to find the second D tackle. Bosa, Jones, Donald to start your defensive line. That's not bad at all. That's the strength of this division. Absolutely.
Yeah. So with the other interior defensive line, there was two ways I could have went with this: Puna Ford or Kinlaw. And I went with Kinlaw.
We got J.J. Watt in the division now. Do we consider him a tackle or an end? Because I might just put J.J. Watt in there even at his age. He played pretty well last year and was actually healthier than he had been in a long time. So he could still be someone who's extremely disruptive, even if he's not the 20-sack guy he was earlier in his career.
I considered him edge, but if you just want to go D-line, then we can plug him in.
Well, because he's more of like the 3-4. So I think if you're doing a 4-man line and and I don't know what exactly his usage was recently, but if you're looking at a sub package, I think he's at tackle as much as he is a pure defensive end. So I would consider J.J. Watt for this. So I'm going to put J.J. Watt in my spot here.
I'm still going to go Kinlaw.
You're sticking with Kinlaw?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're...
I'm just trying to get back in good graces with the
49ers. Yeah, no, I hear where you're going. And look, Javon Kinlaw could be that guy that absolutely blows up two very different parts of their career. Javon Kinlaw ascending, hopefully, for the 49ers, and J.J. Watt, his best years are behind him. I'm going to still stick with J.J. Watt here. I mean, how about that? Bosa, Chandler Jones, Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt. I can't wait to see what we see from Javon Kinlaw here this year. It's going to be huge. This is a big. Obviously, Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo are going to get all the headlines for the 49ers in 2021, but the development of those first-round picks from last year, if they get star defensive tackle in Javon Kinlaw and a star wide receiver in Brandon Ayuk, the Niners are going to be styling in 2021 and beyond.
Yeah, man. That'll be exciting. Kinlaw, man, just improve on his pass rush moves. He looks like a monster out there. Have you seen him recently? Looks like he's kind of in really good shape. I mean, but he's that country strong.
Oh,
he's got that country strong thing to him. Like, dude, I think he's going to be really good this year.
Like, strength is never going to be a problem for him. The way he's built is just different. And he's even bigger than what his, because he's only listed at maybe 6'5", 320. But you see him, it's different. He looks like a pro wrestler, right? They're just like, it's like, whoa, okay, this guy's huge. It's like, I always say the thing that always stood out to me with him, it looks like he has extra pair of legs for arms. That's kind of what he looks like to me. He's like, that's not normal. So yeah, obviously. And I think probably if he did slim down and was, you know, trying to train for quickness more so than brute strength, because he's already got that brute strength. That's not going away. You know, technique and quickness is probably where Kinlaw can make the biggest jumps. And technique is obviously the biggest one for him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be all right.
Linebacker, Fred Warner, Bobby Wagner. We need three linebackers. Any objections to that? I'm putting Fred Warner first, Bobby Wagner second here.
That's exactly how I have it.
Okay. Third linebacker on the all NFC West team is a big one. Dre Greenlaw, the up-and-comer. We've got Jordan Brooks, the first-round pick. I don't know where KJ Wright is going to sign, currently a free agent, but Jordan Brooks was a first-rounder last year for the Seahawks. I didn't see anything that really blew me away from his rookie season in 2020. Another one of those weird head-scratching out-of-nowhere first-round picks for the Seahawks. We've got, I don't know.
Simmons?
Simmons. Yeah, there we go. Because I'm looking
and that's who I'm going with.
I'm looking at the Rams.
I think he's
going
to take that year to jump. You know, I watched him last year, and obviously, like, there are times where he was out of position. They didn't really know exactly how to use him. But it sounds like now they're going to play him at linebacker. That's going to be his spot. He's making a transition similar to Fred Warner, who was kind of a nickel slash outside linebacker type guy in college at BYU. You have Simmons, who was playing free safety, he was playing slot, he was playing linebacker, all these different positions at Clemson. Felt like Arizona didn't really have a plan for him, but now it sounds like he's going to be there right next to Zaven Collins, their first round draft pick. So I'm going to say Simmons. I think he takes that year to jump.
So to me, there's some projection here. You got to go one of the first rounders, Brooks, Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons, or you go Greenlaw. And to me, to be honest with you, I've seen more from Greenlaw than I saw from Isaiah Simmons. And I'm more willing to say that Greenlaw is a better linebacker right now and in 2021 than Isaiah Simmons, even though Simmons has so much talent for all the reasons you pointed out. But I'm actually going to go with Zaven Collins, the next year's first round pick from the Arizona Cardinals. And he hasn't played yet, but I'm going to project him because he's a freakish guy with how big he is and how athletic he is and sort of the strong side backer. If you've got Bobby Wagner and Fred Warner in there as more inside linebackery types. So I'm going to go Zaven Collins here, and he can rush the passer for you, be a little strong side backer and give you a little value in a lot of different ways. And I'm excited to see how he works in. But I did not see enough as a pure linebacker from Isaiah Simmons yet. I could be eating my words, and he could be a superstar player, though, this year, too. There's so much talent there. The guy's a freak.
Yeah, I'm betting on talent and upside with that one.
DBs, this is your specialty, Croc. I'm going to let you go first. What are we talking about with the cornerbacks on this all-NFC West team?
All right, here we go. Right out the gates, we're going Jalen Ramsey and Jason Verrett.
I am not going to argue. I think that's how you have to rank these guys. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey is going to be the top defensive back in this division and the top cornerback. And I think Verrett, with the way he played last year, was a top 10 corner in the NFL. We talked about that cornerbacks list from ESPN where maybe Jason Verrett was snubbed based on how he played. And I know there's some other circumstances why he would be left off that sort of a list, but with how he played last year, dude was a stud for the 49ers, and that's probably why they weren't super worried about re-signing Richard Sherman. I absolutely believe Jason Verrett belongs there as a starting corner on the all-division team along with Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, and are we throwing in a third cornerback or like a nickel or a big nickel?
I guess it technically doesn't have to be a quote-unquote nickel corner, but that's the kind of the way I'm looking at it for the third cornerback position. But you could just drop a third corner in if you want, but I'm looking at it as a nickel.
All right, so this was a tough one, but I'm actually going to go with Buda Baker. And it's tough because Buda Baker and Jimmy Ward are used very similarly as the safeties, but they do a lot in coverage. They're two of the same in the sense of how they're utilized, but Buda Baker has been the bigger playmaker. So I'm going to go with Buda Baker with the big nickel spot. And I know 49ers might kill me because Kwon Williams, he's underrated. He plays extremely well. But Kwon Williams also was a guy who tested free agency. Nobody really wanted him. He reverted back to the 49ers. If Buda Baker was in free agency, everybody would be lined up to get him. So I'm going to go with Buda Baker there.
I am actually going to go with Kwon Williams here. And now that I look at it, I think that was a sneaky pick by you to to pick Buda Baker, because if we move ahead to safety, Buda Baker was actually going to be my pick at free safety. But now that I look at it, if you go with a different free safety, and then Buda Baker might be a better combo than my Buda Baker with K'Wan Williams as my free safety nickelback. So, I mean, Buda Baker can do a lot of different things, but I was putting him in at safety. So that's where I'm going to have him. Who is your safety tandem? I'll just put it out there as my strong safety is going to be Jamal Adams. And I think that's, you know, something that's probably not surprising to anybody listening to this podcast, but I got Buda Baker at free safety, Jamal Adams at strong safety, K'Wan at nickel. You've got Buda Baker at nickel, which he absolutely can play. So who's your safety tandem?
Jimmy Ward and Jamal Adams. I got a lot of versatility here on the back end, a lot of coverage, a lot of playmaking ability with Buda Baker and Jamal Adams, who plays closer to the line of scrimmage. I know there's going to be a lot of jokes and pushback on his coverage ability, but you talk about just a playmaker and a guy who's a difference maker and changes games. Jamal Adams is that guy. He's coming in, led the Seahawks in sacks. Not sure if that's ideal, but just the fact that they didn't have any edge rushers and he was a guy that was able to kind of present that type of pressure and make plays and hurry quarterbacks. I was watching one game. I'm like, man, it seems like every play is in the backfield, rushing the quarterback, making the quarterback throw before he wants to. You have a guy doing stuff like that and also kind of making some plays in the back end. I think that's really cool. So Jamal Adams and Jimmy Ward.
You know what? And apologies to K'Wan Williams. I like yours better on this one, Croc. So I'm going to stick with you, and I'm going to change mine. I think that's the right way to do it in the secondary with Jamal Adams, a strong safety. I think center field, you got Jimmy Ward, and then you got the do-it-all guy in Buda Baker, who can do a lot of different things for you and play the nickel, along with Jalen Ramsey and Jason Verrett on the outside. So the All-NFC West defense, Nick Bosa, Chandler Jones, Aaron Donald. I got J.J. Watt. He's got Javon Kinlaw on that last D-line spot. We got Fred Warner, Bobby Wagner at linebacker. I've got Zaven Collins. Croc has Isaiah Simmons. And then in the secondary, we agree here now, after we've talked this out, Jalen Ramsey, Jason Verrett, Jamal Adams, Jimmy Ward, and Buda Baker. That is the NFC West preseason all-division team. What did we get wrong? What did we get right? Hit us on Twitter, at BDPeacock, at Eric_Crocker, and we'll be back with you guys next week, and we'll answer some of your questions. We'll be a week away from training camp. It's getting close. We are going to project our final 53-man roster before training camp next week, so a lot of fun stuff to talk about as we get ready for this 2021 season coming up on Locked On 49ers.